morning, it's 9 o'clock. Going to call the meeting to order. We have Daniel, Marie, Jenny, and Kirby, and myself chairing. Somebody has their mic on. Okay. All right. Looking for a motion to adopt the agenda as is.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? None, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Looking for a motion to approve the October 20th, 2021 LOC meeting minutes and forward to the business committee.
So move.
Support.
Motion by Marie, seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Current business, United General Welfare Law, Clarissa.
This item starts on page 3 of your packet. So the United General Welfare Law was adopted by the United Business Committee on an emergency basis through resolution BC 81220D for the purpose of providing assistance on a non-taxable basis to eligible tribal members through approved programs that promote the general welfare of the nation, including programs designed to enhance the promotion of health, education, self-sufficiency, self-determination, and the maintenance of culture and tradition, entrepreneurship, and employment. The emergency adoption of this law was set to expire on February 12, 2021. Emergency amendments to the law were then adopted by the United Business Committee through resolution BC 21021B for the purpose of addressing how an improved program of the nation could be adopted by the business committee in an effort to allow for more flexibility and efficiency in addressing the needs of the nation. So these emergency amendments were set to expire on August 10, 2021. The business committee then extended the emergency amendments to this law for an additional 6-month period through the adoption of resolution BC 72821M. So the emergency amendments to the United General Welfare Law will now expire on February 10th, 2022. So the Legislative Operating Committee is now preparing the United General Welfare Law for permanent adoption. So the United General Welfare Law codifies the nation's existing sovereign right to provide assistance to its members on a non-taxable basis pursuant to the principles of general welfare exclusion and to provide a framework for the nation to create approved programs to do just that. So general welfare exclusion provides that any assistance shall be treated as non-taxable under federal law so long as it satisfies the requirements for exclusion under 26 USC 139E, is provided under a safe harbor program listed and detailed in the relevant IRS procedures or regulations, or it meets the criteria of the general test under IRS general criteria of general welfare exclusion listed in the IRS procedures. So the general test provides criteria that's used to determine if any assistance provided through an approved program to a recipient shall be treated as a general welfare exclusion. So the criteria of the general test include the following: the assistance is paid on behalf of the nation, the assistance was provided pursuant to an approved program, the assistance does not discriminate in favor of members of the governing body of the nation, the assistance is made available to any member who meets the guidelines of the approved program, the assistance is provided for the promotion of the general welfare, the assistance is not lavish or extravagant, the assistance is not compensation for services, and the assistance is not a per capita payment. So any assistance provided by the nation under the general welfare exclusion shall occur through an approved program. So this law then sets forth the guidelines that approved programs of the nation will be created under. So the law requires that an approved program be adopted by the business committee through either a law or a resolution of the nation. So an approved program may be adopted through a resolution if the approved program will function on a limited term. So a limited term means there's a defined start and end date, or the program utilizes third-party funding and is not intended to be permanent. If the purpose of the approved program is to function on a permanent basis, then the approved program is required to be adopted through a law of the nation. So the law also provides what information an approved program is required to include in its adopting document, which includes the name of the approved program, the purpose of the program, eligibility rules and limitations for the program, its funding source, how the program qualifies for the general welfare exclusion, and the start and end date of the approved program, if applicable. So any assistance intended to qualify under the general welfare exclusion is limited to members of the nation only. All assistance that is provided to a recipient is required to be used for the purpose stated in the approved program description. So if a recipient uses assistance in a manner that is inconsistent with the purpose of the approved program, then the payment is considered forfeited and the nation may secure repayment from the recipient. The law then clarifies that any benefit a member of the nation receives is not subject to garnishment or attachment by creditors of the member. So on September 1st, 2021, the LOC approved the draft of the Oneida General Welfare Law. On September 15th, the LOC approved the legislative analysis and approved a public comment period to be held open until October 13th, 2021. So typically, the Legislative Procedures Act requires that the LOC hold a public meeting where people can come in person and provide comments on proposed legislation or ask questions, and then hold open a public comment period for an additional 5 business days where an individual may submit written comments or questions on the proposed legislation. But because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the nation's public health state of emergency, we were unable to safely hold an in-person public meeting. So Oneida Business Committee Resolution BC8321A, setting public gathering guidelines during the public health state of emergency COVID-19, also prohibits indoor and outdoor public gatherings when the COVID-19 infection rates within Brown and Outagamie County exceed low, as identified by the Wisconsin Department of Public Health Services. So the infection rates have been exceeding low in both Brown and Outagamie counties. So the nation's COVID-19 core decision-making team addressed the issue of not being able to hold a public meeting safely in person through its March 27th, 2020 declaration titled Suspension of Public Meetings under the Legislative Procedures Act. So this declaration suspended the Legislative Procedures Act requirement to hold a public meeting during the public comment period, but allows members of the community to still participate in the legislative process by submitting written comments, questions, data, or input on the proposed legislation to the LOC via email during the public comment period. So although the public meeting was not held on the permanent adoption of the Oneida General Welfare Law, a public comment period was still held open until October 13th in accordance with the LPA and the COVID-19 core decision-making team's suspension of public meetings under the LPA declaration. So during the public comment period, no submission of written comments were received. On October 20th, 2021, the LOC accepted the public comment review memo, which identified that no comments were received. So since the last LOC meeting, there's been one clarification made to the draft. Starting on page 7 of your packet, you'll see a redline draft that demonstrates a proposed change from the public meeting draft. So on page 8 of your packet, starting on line 43, the definition for assistance was revised to clarify that assistance provided under this law is not income. So the definition now reads, assistance means benefits or payments under an approved program, which are paid to or on behalf of a recipient pursuant to this law. Assistance provided under an approved program shall not be considered income of the recipient. So on page 11 of your packet, you'll find the new updated clean draft of the law. So the clean draft demonstrates what the law would look like if the law was adopted as is. Then on page 15 of your packet, you'll find an updated legislative analysis. So the legislative analysis is a plain language analysis describing the important features of the legislation being considered and factual information to enable the LOC to make informed decisions regarding the legislation. So the legislative analysis provides additional background information on the development of this law, such as how the legislative process is being followed and how this law relates to existing legislation and other considerations. So then on page 22 of your packet, you'll find the fiscal impact statement request memo. So the Legislative Procedures Act requires that a fiscal impact statement be provided for all proposed legislation of the nation. The fiscal impact statement is an estimate of the total fiscal year financial effects associated with proposed legislation and should include startup costs, personnel, office costs, documentation costs, and an estimate of the amount of time necessary for an individual or agency to comply with the law after implementation. So the fiscal impact statement must be completed and submitted to the LOC prior to the proposed legislation being forwarded to the business committee for consideration. The fiscal impact statement ultimately provides the business committee information on what the potential adoption of the proposed legislation will cost the nation so that the business committee can determine if the adoption of the proposed legislation is in the best interests of the nation. So the Legislative Procedures Act grants the LOC the authority to direct the finance department or any agency who may administer a program if the legislation is enacted or may have financial information concerning the subject matter of the legislation to submit a fiscal impact statement. So Oneida Business Committee Resolution BC, I think that's 10-2820A, titled Further Interpretation of Fiscal Impact Statement in the Legislative Procedures Act, provides us further clarification on the process for directing a fiscal impact statement be completed. So this resolution provides that upon final approval of draft legislation by the LOC may direct the finance department to provide a neutral and unbiased fiscal impact statement to the LOC within 10 business days for inclusion in the adoption materials. So now that we have a final draft of the Oneida General Welfare Law, the fiscal impact statement request memo is a memo from the LOC to the finance department directing that a fiscal impact statement of the Oneida General Welfare Law be completed and provided to the LOC by November 18th, 2021. So this morning we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the updated draft legislative analysis and the fiscal impact statement request memo and forward to the finance department directing that a fiscal impact statement be prepared and submitted to the LOC by November 18th, 2021.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny. Looking for a second. Support. Supported by Kirby. Questions or comments? None, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to budget management and control, emergency amendments, Clarissa.
So this item starts on page 24 of your packet. The budget management and control law sets forth the requirements to be followed by the Oneida Business Committee and Oneida Fund Units when preparing the budget to be presented to the General Tribal Council for approval and to establish a triennial strategic planning process for the nation's budget. So under this agenda item today, we have two separate items for consideration that I'll walk us through. The first item for consideration is the extension of the emergency amendments to the Budget Management and Control Law. The second item for consideration is a draft of comprehensive amendments to the Budget Management and Control Law for permanent adoption. So first, we're going to focus on the extension of the emergency amendments to the law. So on November 24th, 2020, the Oneida Business Committee adopted emergency amendments to the law in response to the COVID-19 pandemic to provide that in the event that the nation proclaims an emergency in accordance with the Emergency Management Law, which prevents presentation and adoption of the budget by the General Tribal Council, the Oneida Business Committee shall adopt the nation's budget. So these emergency amendments were set to expire on May 24th, 2021. On April 28th, 2021, the Business Committee adopted a motion to direct the LOC to have emergency amendments to the Budget Management and Control Law to remove much of the budget process and deadlines and leave it simply at a budget should be adopted by September 30th, 2021 and direct the LOC to continue working with the Finance Department to get the Budget Management and Control Law amended on a permanent basis. So the Budget Management and Control Law was already on the LOC's active files list for the development of those comprehensive amendments. So those additional emergency amendments to the law were sought to address the nation's non-compliance with the budget development process and the deadlines contained in the law. The emergency amendments to the law removed much of the details of the budget process, requirements, and deadlines from the law, and instead provided that the treasurer shall develop the necessary guidelines and procedures, including specific deadlines for the nation's budget development process, to be reviewed and approved by the Oneida Business Committee. So the business committee can temporarily enact legislation when the legislation is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public health, safety, or general welfare of the reservation population, and the amendment of the legislation is required sooner than would be possible under the Legislative Procedures Act. So a fiscal impact statement and the public meeting are not required for emergency legislation. So the emergency amendments to this law were necessary for the preservation of the general welfare of the reservation population. The COVID-19 pandemic interrupted many processes and procedures of the nation, including the development of the nation's fiscal year 21 and fiscal year 22 budgets. So the law ultimately aims to provide a transparent process and requirements for the business committee and the fund units when preparing the budget to be presented to General Tribal Council for approval. The nation was not in compliance with the various requirements and deadlines contained in the law. So again, those proposed emergency amendments removed much of the detail and instead provided enough flexibility to allow the nation to determine the most effective process for the adoption of the budget as we transition through the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. So additionally, the proposed emergency amendments to the law ensured that a transparent budget process was available to the business committee and the fund units as we move forward with the development and adoption of the fiscal year 22 budget. So additionally, the observance of the requirements under the LPA for the adoption of these amendments was contrary to public interest. The requirements of the LPA could not be completed in time to ensure that a transparent budget process was made available to members of the nation prior to the adoption of the fiscal year 22 budget. So the emergency amendments to this law became effective on May 12, 2021 through the adoption of Resolution BC 51221C. The emergency amendments are now set to expire on November 12, 2021. So the LOC is now seeking an extension of the emergency amendments to the law. So the Legislative Procedures Act allows the Business Committee to extend emergency amendments for a six-month time period. A six-month extension of the emergency amendments to the law is being requested to provide additional time for the LOC to process the adoption of permanent amendments to the law. So the extension of these emergency amendments would become effective on November 12, 2021, when the emergency amendments as adopted through BC 51221C expire, and they would remain in effect for an additional six-month term, which would end on May 12, 2022. So the information I just provided is summarized in the emergency extension memo, which is found on page 28 of your packet. That memo is followed by the resolution on page 30. The Legislative Procedures Act requires that all legislation of the nation be adopted through a resolution. So this resolution summarizes that the extension of these emergency amendments complies with the Legislative Procedures Act. A statement of effect has also been provided in your packet on page 32. So a statement of effect explains the impacts or conflicts adoption of a resolution would have on the nation. This statement of effect identifies that adoption of the resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's laws. Then on page 34, you'll find a draft of the emergency amendments that we're looking to extend. So this morning, we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the Budget Management and Control Law Emergency Amendments Extension Packet and forward to the United Business Committee for consideration.
By Jenny, seconded by Daniel. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries.
So now that we've addressed the extension of the emergency amendments, oh, we can.
Hold on, Larry.
Well, go ahead, I'll comment after.
Okay.
We can move on to the consideration of the comprehensive amendments to the Budget Management Control Law for a permanent adoption. So I just explained the history of the emergency amendments to the law, but since the Budget Management Control Law amendments were added to the active files list on October 7th, 2021, the LOC has also been working on comprehensive amendments to this law that would be proposed on a permanent basis. So the LOC has held 14 work meetings to develop comprehensive amendments to the Budget Management Control Law. During the development of these amendments, the LOC has collaborated with the nation's treasurer, chief financial officer, assistant chief financial officer, budget analyst, and strategic planner. So on page 41 of your packet, you'll find a red line draft which demonstrates all of the changes that are being proposed to the law since its last permanent adoption through Resolution BC 2817C. Then on page 59, you'll find a clean draft of the proposed amendments that demonstrates what the law would look like if adopted as is. So overall, the proposed amendments to the Budget Management Control Law will expand the purpose and policy of this law to address other financial policies and procedures for the nation beyond just the budget process. It eliminates the strategic planning procedures from the law, instead providing simply that the United Business Committee should develop and adopt a strategic plan, broad goals, or priorities for the nation that the budget should reflect. It clarifies the authority and responsibilities of those individuals who play a part in the nation's budget process. It simplifies the budget process and procedure contained in the law, and it includes new provisions which address unbudgeted expenditures, obligated future expenditures, capital contributions, grants, debt, employment and labor allocations, and unbudgeted positions. So I do also want to highlight that there are three areas within this draft that you'll see highlighted. So section 121.5-4A on page 48 of the packet, line 316 of the red line, Section 121.5-4B1 on page 48 of the packet, line 329 of the red line, and section 121.10-4B on page 56 of your packet, line 696 of the red line. So these highlighted areas demonstrated values of either a date or a percentage that the LOC has asked the Treasurer and Finance to provide input on what those values should be included in the law So they're currently left blank because we haven't received the input. But I do want to highlight that tomorrow afternoon, I am holding a work meeting with them to discuss those matters and collect the input that will be included into the law. So this is the first formal draft of proposed amendments to the Budget Management Control Law. We were at the very beginning of the legislative process. The next step would be to direct that a legislative analysis begun to be drafted. And then we would be moving forward to bring this item to a public meeting so that we can collect community input on the proposed draft. So today we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the draft proposed amendments to the Budget Management Control Law and direct that a legislative analysis be developed.
Motion by Kirby.
Second.
Seconded by Jenny. Discussion, Larry?
Yes, David. I'm going to mute my other mic.
I reviewed the draft as our team did, and there were changes as a consequence of the work meeting. We would like the opportunity before it hits the public hearing to respond to those, hence the meeting tomorrow. So I think those were significant changes. We appreciate the input from LOC, but I think the Treasury and Finance, our perspective needs to be certainly acknowledged, if not heard, relative to those changes we have not responded to. So that's the intent of our meeting tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. LOC? Would you prefer that we wait, or do you prefer to move forward?
I'm okay with moving forward because we'll always have that public comment period as well. And there's the meeting tomorrow.
Jenny, I can't hear your response.
I'm sorry. I said I'm okay with moving forward. There's a work meeting tomorrow. And then there's also always the public meeting comments.
Yeah, and I think the materiality and significance of the changes, I think, would have benefited at least all involved to have shared those prior to some presence or first step of finalization. I think that just is a good faith communicative process, so we can at least incorporate perspective into the final draft. So, thank you.
Anybody else have any comments on this topic?
Call for the question.
Call for the question has been called for, so all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Moving on to the Oneida Nation Gaming Ordinance Emergency Amendments. Kristen?
Thank you. This item begins on page 70 of the packet. The Oneida Nation Gaming Ordinance, also known as ONGO, was adopted by the General Tribal Council in 2004 to govern all gaming activities that occur on lands under the jurisdiction of the nation and all persons or entities that engage in said gaming activities, including those who provide goods or services to such persons or entities. Section 501.9 of ONGO assigns certain responsibilities to the Gaming Security Department that are meant to protect gaming assets, patrons, and gaming employees from an activity, repeat activity, or ongoing activities which could jeopardize gaming assets, patrons, and gaming employees. Originally, Section 501.9 of ONGO placed the Gaming Security Department under the Oneida Police Department's oversight within the nation's organizational structure. However, in late 2020, the Oneida Law Office raised concerns over a possible legal issue relating to the placement of the Gaming Security Department that could have exposed the nation to unnecessary litigation costs, regardless of merit, if left unchanged. Given the concern and imminent risks related to its placement, on May 12, 2021, the Oneida Business Committee adopted emergency amendments to ONGO, specifically Section 501.9-2, that expeditiously disposed of the issue by temporarily reassigning gaming security to the Oneida Business Committee's oversight, while a more appropriate permanent placement could be established and vetted within the period of time allotted for emergency amendments to be in effect under the nation's Legislative Procedures Act. The Oneida Business Committee can temporarily enact legislation when it is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public health, safety, or general welfare of the reservation population, and the amendment of the legislation is required sooner than would be possible under the Legislative Procedures Act. The emergency amendments to ONGO were necessary for the preservation of the general welfare of the reservation population. The emergency amendments shielded the nation against the legal risks that existed with respect to the original placement of the security department within its organizational structure. By reassigning security to the United Business Committee on a temporary basis, it expeditiously disposed of the legal risk as well as the cost of having to defend claims relating thereto, while affording the organization time to establish a more appropriate permanent placement for security under Section 501.9-2 of ONGO. Additionally, observance of the requirements under the Legislative Procedures Act for the adoption of the emergency amendments was contrary to the public interest. So long as security remained under the United Police Department, the potential existed for claims related thereto to be raised against the nation, which even if successfully defended against in the end, would have still cost the nation money that could be put to use more beneficial to the reservation population. Given the ease within which claims can be filed, regardless of merit, the process and requirements of the Legislative Procedure Act could not be completed in time to ensure against the financial burden that the nation could have incurred in defense costs if the issue is not expeditiously resolved before a more permanent solution was established and properly vetted by the appropriate individuals within the organization. The emergency amendments to ONGO will expire on November 12, 2021. The Legislative Procedures Act allows the United Business Committee to extend emergency amendments for an additional six-month period. A six-month extension of the emergency amendments to ONGO is being requested because the Legislative Operating Committee, along with the work group of individuals within the organization that were chosen to assist in the process, are still developing the area under which security will be permanently placed within Section 501.9-1 of ONGO and needs the additional window of time to complete the task without the legal risk that would exist if the law reverted back to its pre-emergency amendment version. So beginning on page 73 of the packet is an adoption memorandum from the chair of the Legislative Operating Committee, which basically reiterates much of what I have said here today. Next is the resolution that, if adopted, would extend the emergency amendments to ONGO until May 12, 2022, followed by a statement of effect indicating that adoption of the resolution will not conflict with any laws of the nation. Last is the draft of ONGO as emergency amended on May 12, 2021, that would remain in effect for an additional six-month period if extended by the United Business Committee. Per the Legislative Procedure Act, a fiscal impact statement and public meeting are not required for emergency legislation. So based on the above, I would now be looking for a motion from the Legislative Operating Committee to approve the United Nation Gaming Ordinance Emergency Amendments Extension Packet and forward to the United Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Motion made by Jenny.
Second.
Seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? I see none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Moving on to new submissions.
This item is the Elder Assistance Program Law. So this item starts on page 106 of your packet. The request for a new Elder Assistance Program Law comes from Councilman David Jordan, based on a recommendation from the Chief Financial Officer during the October 20th LOC meeting. So this request asks the LOC to consider developing a new law to establish an approved program under the United General Welfare Law, which transitions the nation's elderly 65 and plus per capita payment distribution fund from being utilized for per capita payments to being utilized for general welfare assistance payments for elders. So last week, Wednesday, a memo was sent to the Trust Enrollment Committee and the Trust Enrollment Department informing them that the LOC would consider this request today and inviting them to attend the meeting through Microsoft Teams to provide their input on this request. So today the LOC will need to decide whether or not to add this Elder Assistance Program Law to the active files list. So we will need discussion and then a motion on whether to add this to the active files list with a sponsor designated or to deny the request to add the Elder Assistance Law to the active files list.
Questions or comments, Marie?
Oh, I just wanted to offer a motion.
Oh, go ahead.
Motion to add the Elder Assistance Program Law onto the active file list, and with David Jordan being a sponsor.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made by Marie, seconded by Jenny, with myself being the sponsor. Any questions or comments? Any from the trust enrollment? I see Keith is on. Any comments, Keith? No, I think he jumped off. Any concerns with you, Carl?
Not yet.
Okay. All right.
Encouraging.
All right, with that being said, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, abstention, motion carries. We're looking for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
At 9:30. Motion made by Marie, seconded by Daniel. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Thank you, everyone.